Chapter 17. Thursday, April 21st, 0011 New Era, 0750 hours. The nurse smiled as she placed a finger beneath Scott's chin.
"You watch that shoulder,"
she said before she turned her attention to David and teased.
"And you, why were you here again?"
David, whose left arm was almost completely healed over, grinned.
"I came for the personal attention."
"Take care, you two,"
she said with a gentle wave as she checked off their exit forms. Scott and David waved in return, then made their way out of the infirmary. They had spent 8 days in the infirmary altogether, and it was decided that morning that they were both cleared enough to return to active duty. While David was without hindrance, Scott wore a protective cloth over the burnt area of his shoulder and arm. It was an area that, while limited, was functional. He would have to return to the infirmary in several days for a re-examination, although the advanced healing gels were expected to do their work well, as modern technology usually did. They left the medical wing in lifted spirits. It was impossible not to. After so many days, the odor of the injured became too familiar for comfort. The morning was freezing, as always, though they welcomed the change. Anything different was better by that point, even if it was the icy chill of Russian air. Nonetheless, they soon longed for the warmth of the inside as they trekked across the grounds. Room 14 was abandoned, though they didn't mind. The reunion of their nostrils and the stale smell of the room was as wonderful as anticipated. The others didn't need to be there for it to feel like home. The beds were all made, and the scent of old tea hung in the air.
"They must be working out,"
Scott said as he stepped in through the doorway and made for his bunk.
"Must be,"
David answered. His course was different as he veered past his bunk and straight to his closet. He flipped through his clothes until he came to his uniform. The gamma patch was embroidered on the front of its chest.
"That's a beautiful thing."
"Hey, welcome to the club."
"Do I get any benefits?"
"Oh yeah, 2 weeks of paid vacation and a free Russian lap dance."
"That'll work."
Scott knelt beside his duffel bag where he rifled through its contents. When he pulled out his hand, his football was firm in its grasp. As his fingers squeezed the dirt-stained leather, he felt a welcome rush of familiarity. David clapped his hands together and held out his open palms. Scott saw the gesture and underhanded him the ball. It spiraled across the room where it padded into David's hands.
"Long time since I caught one of these."
Scott eased into an open area of the room and held his hands out.
"You think they're running?"
"Probably."
"They'll probably be back in about half an hour then."
"We'll find out soon enough. Want to get breakfast before they get back?"
Scott knelt down and rolled the football under his bunk.
"Sure. I miss the cafeteria food."
"Which is a very revealing sign of the times."
They checked over their personal belongings, then made their way out of room 14. As they ventured across the grounds toward the cafeteria, something out of place caught their eyes. Off in the distance, away from the sidewalk, but close enough to be seen, stood the form of a massive man. His backside faced Novosibirsk as he stared off into the unending snowscape.
"Is that Will?"
"I think it is. What the hell is he doing out there in the snow?"
"He's not getting a tan."
They stepped away from the sidewalk and trudged toward the demolitionist. Within seconds, William turned, indicating his awareness of their presence.
"Hey, man, what's up?"
William's expression caught Scott completely off guard. It was hardened. It was devoid of emotion. It was the most un-William-like expression Scott had ever seen.
"Hi.
You looking for Yeti out here?"
"No."
William's cheeks were glossed over with a frozen red, and his hands were shoved in his pockets with little ambition. Several awkward seconds passed before he moved away from them and returned his gaze to the icy landscape.
"What's wrong, man?"
The wind whipped up with a gusty blast, and William said nothing. His stare remained dedicated to the nothingness that stretched out in the distance. It wasn't until David took a half step toward him that he answered.
"Joe's dead."
Scott's jaw gaped. "Joe's dead? Joe Jansen's dead?"
"What did you say?"
"He's dead. Want me to spell it out for you?"
"I didn't know anybody got called out."
"Nobody got called out. He died in his sleep."
"Died in his sleep?" How could Joe have died in his sleep? Old men in their 90s died in their sleep. The chronically ill died in their sleep. But healthy soldiers? Scott asked the unavoidable question.
How?
He went to bed early. Said something about a headache. But when we woke up this morning, he was dead.
He died of a headache?
That's what I said, isn't it? I want to be alone right now.
If there's anything we can do, let us know. Definitely.
I appreciate it.
They turned back to the sidewalk and left William on his own. When they were out of earshot, Scott shook his head.
You'd think he'd have some kind of a problem.
If he did, you think he'd be here?
Oh, man, they came in together from Atlanta.
I know.
They resumed their trek to the cafeteria, despite the news from William. Neither had known Joe beyond a handful of short conversations, though they nonetheless felt the inevitable emptiness of one less conversationalist at the table. The man had been good company. They picked at their plates, finding themselves devoid of the desire to eat, at which point they rose from the table and once again journeyed across the grounds back to the barracks. The room 14 they found when they returned was different from the one they had left. Laughter saturated the walls, and when they opened the door to step inside, they realized that the whole of the unhospitalized crew was back from their morning workout. They were welcomed immediately.
Hey, guys!
Manny! Dave!
Beacon leapt from the foot of his bunk, skipping across the room to greet them.
It's about time they let you out.
The room bustled as a mist of warm steam rose from the occupied showers and shrouded half the room. Conversation flowed back and forth in Russian and English, as was the custom whenever operatives returned from the morning session. David slapped a hand out to Beacon.
You guys missed out. Medbay is where the party's at.
I bet it is. But I'm sure it's not as happening as the pool.
Is that where you guys have been?
All morning. Nice and warm.
Scott scanned the room, looking at the rest of the operatives. Sure enough, their damp hair affirmed it. It made him jealous. Every time he went on a morning workout, it was a bitter cold jog.
You should see that pool, man. It's awesome. I hope we go there all the time.
You just like seeing Varvara in a swimsuit.
Man, she is hot.
He glanced across the room to the showering medic. Scott grinned. Saying she's hot wasn't exactly making a move, but for Jaden, anything was progress. Travis joined them and slapped David on the arm.
Congrats on the promotion.
Thanks.
The two exchanged smiles for a moment before Galina scooted past from the direction of the showers.
Welcome back,
she said, whisking a pink towel through her hair. Clark and Dostoevsky emerged from the lounge a moment later.
How goes it, gentlemen? Glad to see you both back here in one piece. I trust your recovery went well.
Yes, sir.
Clark drew nearer and motioned to the protective bandage wrapped around Scott's shoulder.
How long will you need that?
Doctors say just a few days, sir. It's precautionary. I have a checkup Sunday, and if it looks good by then, I'm good to go without it.
Brilliant. Well, I'll let the two of you go ahead and get reacquainted with your comrades. If you need me or the lieutenant, we'll be in our office.
He smiled and gestured to the lounge.
It's good to have you two back with us.
As Clark and Dostoevsky returned to the lounge, David remarked,
This place has livened up since we were here last.
I wonder if that's indicative of anything.
Right.
At that moment, Scott realized that someone was absent. Someone he knew had already been released. Svetlana. She was nowhere to be seen.
Hey, where's Sveta?
Svetlana?
Yeah.
She's gone, man.
She's gone?
She left this morning. Well, she might be still here. There aren't any flights scheduled to leave for another hour, and nothing else is scheduled to arrive. But yeah, she's leaving Eden.
Scott felt his stomach bottom out.
You've got to be kidding me.
I wish I were. Supposedly she talked to Clark about it last night. I don't know what she said exactly, but she packed her things this morning. Told everyone bye.
If you could even call it telling everyone bye.
Yeah. A few hugs. She really didn't say much of anything. Clark did all the talking, but yeah, she left before we started our workout.
Galina, who stood within earshot of the conversation, listened quietly. Scott slumped against the wall. Gone. She couldn't be gone. He had just gotten to know her.
I can't believe it. It's just... I mean, I can believe it. It's just...
Yeah, we know what you mean. We feel the same way. It wasn't right what happened, but... At the same time, it's never good to see someone leave like that. It's a bloody mess.
Everything's been all gloom and doom around here. It wasn't exactly the best way to start the morning, but... What can you do? Who's to say any one of us wouldn't have done the same thing in her shoes?
No one could say that. Scott knew for sure he couldn't. But gone? He couldn't believe it. Not Svetlana. Not the Svetlana he had known. He stopped at that thought. He hadn't even known Svetlana well. They'd had only one meaningful conversation, and prior to that they'd almost been enemies. She was an acquaintance. She was an acquaintance who had listened to him when he needed someone to listen. What if Galina had been in the lounge that night instead? She would have done the same thing, wouldn't she? Scott came out of his reverie.
You said she might still be here?
Travis glanced at his watch.
It's almost 8:30. I'm pretty sure the first flight out of here is at 8:50. She'd likely be in the hangar if you want to catch her. To say goodbye or whatever.
He frowned.
I thought about going, but what would I say? I don't see how anyone could even try to convince her to stay. I don't know how she would after what happened. I wasn't one of her closer friends, so it'd be awkward. That's kind of how everyone felt, I think.
Galina cleared her throat with a soft cough.
I was going to stay with her until she left, after I finished this.
She tilted her mug of tea.
I had morning workout, so I could not go until now. If you would like to come, you may do that.
Scott stared at her. What would he say to Svetlana if he did go to see her? One conversation. That was all they'd had. One conversation that had lasted for only a short while. It would be just as awkward for him as it would have been for Travis. His being there would only make Svetlana more uncomfortable. It would be stupid to go.
Yeah, I'd like that, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I'm sure she would love to know that you cared. In fact, I can finish this drink on the way over there. Do you want to go now?
Yeah, we can go now.
Let me go get my boots on.
Galina stepped away, leaving Scott with his thoughts. It was the right thing to do. She was sitting in the hangar right now, by herself, waiting for a transport that was cold and lifeless. Everything around her was cold and lifeless. Someone else had to go. Someone aside from just Galina. She had to know that someone else cared.
Are you ready?
Galina asked as she returned.
Ready.
As they stepped into the hall, Scott said to David,
Don't forget to tell them about Joe.
David nodded, and Scott and Galina departed. David's gaze lowered for a moment before Beacon stepped to him and cocked his head.
What happened to Joe?
As Scott and Galina traversed the halls, Galina offered Scott a faint smile.
She will be happy that you're coming. She likes you.
That gave him a warm feeling. She was the first person he'd won over. When they first arrived at Novosibirsk, every reception had been so cold. But she turned warm. She proved that it could be done. But it was more than that. He felt warm because she wasn't simply an acquaintance. She was his friend. And she was about to leave.
I like you too.
I just tried to be friendly. That was it.
She noticed. Nobody else here gave her that when they first met her. Not even Tolya.
I don't understand why not. She's a nice girl.
Galina hesitated a moment, then smiled.
Yes. She is.
Though snow no longer fell outside, the stark coldness of the wind still burned through the air. The scent of open oxygen brought the only aspect of life to the grounds of Novosibirsk. The land itself was devoid of activity. Galena and Scott found themselves a rare couple in the outdoors. The walk to the airstrip was bleak, as the whole of Novosibirsk seemed on the verge of mechanical hibernation. A lull of extraterrestrial activity justified the recent stillness, and no one complained. Vultures and civilian transports were perched outside the hangar doors as mechanics tended to prepping and charging. It didn't take Scott and Galena long to find Svetlana. She was the only woman in sight, seated alone on a bench along the far wall of the hangar. Her only company was a duffel bag. Scott saw her for the first time since Siberia. She sat with her head bowed and her hands clasped together. A cascade of recently washed hair shone down the sides of her face, and as she lifted her head to see them approaching, it fell back behind her ears. She brushed several of the loose strands from her forehead, and her blue eyes widened. As she rose to greet them, Scott saw her body perk up. She gazed from Galena to him, and she trembled for the first time. As she took her first step toward them, Scott noticed the shimmer of tears beneath her lids. When their paths finally met, Svetlana collided into Galena's embrace just as her arms opened up to accept her. Svetlana wrapped her arms around Galena's back and pressed her face against her chest. A burst of sobs choked out as she gripped the back of Galena's uniform. Galena's expression softened. She placed a hand on Svetlana's shoulder as Svetlana began to whimper. She was saying something. Scott couldn't understand it, but she was saying something through her tears. The Russian words were repeated over and over. Galena slid her hand to massage Svetlana's back.
Shh, it's all right.
Svetlana sniffed and took in a deep breath. Her face remained buried in Galena's chest as she continued to cry.
It's going to be okay,
Scott said as he placed a hand on her shoulder. He didn't know what else to do.
You're going to be okay.
He looked past Galena to the technicians as they went about their business. He watched them for a moment as they traveled back and forth across the hangar. They were completely oblivious to the scene, or completely uncaring. His attention returned to Svetlana as she lifted her eyes to regard him.
Thank you for saving my life.
The words were sincere, but forced. Scott felt his heart break. Her grip tightened on Galena again, and her face fell back into her fellow medic's jersey.
Let's go sit down, okay?
I'm sorry.
Sorry for what? You have nothing to be sorry for.
Svetlana stepped away from Galena and wrapped her arms around Scott. Scott had known that an embrace was coming. He just wasn't sure how he'd feel when it did. It felt good. Surprisingly so. Something felt right about holding her. They stood together for several moments until Scott pulled away and peered at Svetlana's face, where he reached up to brush away a strand of hair. Svetlana managed a small smile.
Hey, there we go. That's what we want to see. Right there, that smile.
Svetlana remained silent, her lips still curved faintly.
Yes, it is.
Behind them, the footsteps of technicians tracked across the concrete floor. Svetlana slumped against Galena, and her eyes glazed over.
Sveta,
Galena said as she angled her body to support her friend.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Svetlana was quiet for a moment. Then she nodded her head and sniffed.
I cannot stay here. I cannot work for him.
Galena closed her eyes, and her expression faded.
I understand.
Her hand massaged the edge of Svetlana's back.
I'm sorry.
Scott's own gaze sank as she spoke. There was nothing he or Galena could do. Her decision was made. It was a decision nobody could hold against her. Her spirit was dead. It had been murdered by the most fearsome leader in the modern world.
I am sorry.
Scott saw a single tear droplet trace down the side of her cheek, a small stain of water barely visible behind it. She lifted a hand to wipe it away. Had he been in her shoes, Scott knew he might well have made the same decision. What if Thor had killed Nicole? What if her life was tossed in the trash like a piece of debris? An unnecessary expense for an unnecessary assignment. Anatoly had spoken with Svetlana until the moment of his death. There had been no Bakhma voices in the background, no pounding on the door of the room where he hid. The bomb stayed secure. Anatoly had stayed with it for nothing. He died for nothing.
You Voronova?
It was a new voice. Scott turned to face an oily technician observing them, wooden clipboard in hand. Svetlana looked from Galina to Scott. Her transport. Her ticket out of Novosibirsk. Her escape. Scott watched as she offered the technician a nod. For a fleeting moment, Scott swore he saw hesitation.
That bird over there is going to fly in about 5 minutes.
He pointed to one of the civilian Airbuses.
Might want to go ahead and board right now.
All Scott knew to do was to be there and remain calm.
Do you need any help with bags or anything?
No, I will be okay.
Galina placed her hand on Svetlana's shoulder, and Svetlana pulled her in for a final hug. Galina whispered something into Svetlana's ear, to which the blonde-haired medic nodded. Galina smiled as they separated, then Svetlana turned to face Scott.
Be safe with yourself,
she said as she stepped toward him and fell into an embrace.
There is a beautiful young woman in America waiting for her love to come home.
Scott fought to hold back tears of his own as he held her close. A week ago, he had known nothing of Svetlana Voronova. Now, the thought of her leaving knotted his stomach.
You too. You'd better come back and visit us, all right?
Svetlana dipped her head, and she peered into his eyes.
Don't let them change you. Please.
It was the second time he had been told that. First from Clark, now from Svetlana. It struck him as curious to hear. His mind returned to the present as she leaned in and pressed a kiss between his cheek and lips, then pulled away. She bent down to pick up the strap of her duffel bag. She backed away from them, then turned toward the Airbus. As she walked away, Galina fell back to Scott's side. Svetlana was in the doorway of the Airbus when she returned to offer a final wave. Scott allowed his gaze to linger on her. She was such a beautiful girl, despite the wear and tear her emotions had taken on her. Her hair shined golden again. The sparkle in her eyes was subdued, but it was still there. Blue, like the ocean. Just like he remembered them. He didn't want her to go. He lifted his hand to bid her farewell, and for a faint moment, he thought he saw her smile. The door to the Airbus slid shut. She was gone. The Airbus sat for several more minutes before its engines roared to life and it taxied down the runway. They watched as it rolled forward, picked up speed, and then rose from the ground. It rocketed skyward with an iconic burst. Scott sighed and he dropped his hands to his sides.
There she goes.
Yes. There she goes.
For almost a full minute, they stood by the entranceway to the airstrip and watched the Airbus grow smaller and smaller in the distance, until it finally disappeared from view. Scott turned back to the hangar. The technicians still hustled back and forth, and the other aircraft still awaited their turns for flight. Everything continued on. It was as if nothing had changed at all. He sighed and glanced to Galina.
What time is it?
She looked at her watch, then she shifted her gaze to the airstrip.
8:57.
8:57. A day of routine awaited them. Nothing had changed at all. Scott slid his hands into his pockets, and he faced the main building of Novosibirsk. Galina's gaze lingered on the horizon. Then she turned to join Scott. They walked away from the hangar and began their journey back across the grounds to the barracks. The technicians never noticed they were gone.